Well, we'll just wait another 20 minutes for everybody else to show up. Happy 4th of July. It is an absolutely gorgeous day out there. A lot of celebrating going on this week, and the weather is going to cooperate. So have fun, be careful, and look around and see who's lonely, and you can invite them to your celebrations. It would be great. So it is good to be here today on sacred and holy ground to worship God, because that's what it's all about. And today, especially being Communion Sunday, today we get to hug Jesus. Just like you can reach out and touch the person in front of you, behind you, or next to you, you can touch Jesus. That's my thought for today. That's my point for today, is that our spirituality, our relationship with God, become more real to us than anything else in this whole world. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we gather together here in this place to worship you and to praise you, to lift high the name of Jesus. We gather together here in this place with all of our fears, all of our worries, our concerns, our burdens, our aches, our pains, and we cast them upon you. We gather together in this place to sit at the foot of the cross, to learn of you, to become meek and lowly in heart, to take your yoke upon us. We gather together in this place to witness to the rest of the world that we are your children, called by your name. And so we give to you our lives this day as living sacrifices. We give to you everything that we own, everything that we possess. We give it to you. Use it. Use us as you see fit, God. And we pray that what we do here is pleasing unto you. So fill us with love for one another, and fill us especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, church, and welcome. What a glorious morning, as Pastor said. What a wonderful day to kick off our America's birthday and celebration. Please celebrate responsibly. I do give a warm welcome to all, and especially any visitors. I'm looking around and I'm not seeing new faces, but if we do have visitors and you would like information about our church, please see me, please see the pastor. Please raise your hand, an usher will come forward. And there's also information packets hanging from the shepherd's crook immediately out the narthex doors. I would ask that you sign the attendance sheets. They're located in the red folders in your pew. Please sign that. If you are new to the church, please include your address so that we can, in fact, send you information. Pass it to others in the pew and then bring it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in those red folders. Please use that card. Complete that, put it in the clear holder, and the ushers will bring it forward to the pastor. Our memory verse for July is printed on the top middle of our bulletin. It is from the New Testament, Book of Romans. We will recite it twice through. Please join me now. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We have a variety of announcements, and as always, I do ask that you check our bulletin carefully. I will highlight a few. First and foremost, a big thank you to Debbie, our organist and music savant. She is substituting for Diane. So when you see Debbie, perhaps next Sunday, because she won't be leaving the organ bench, please thank her for her service. Also, a reminder, hoagie sale for camp support from Laurie Joe up there in the balcony. She's going to encourage you all to sign up and purchase hoagies for the month of July. Today is the last day. Is that correct, Laura? Okay, today is the last day. And as a reminder, that hoagie sale is for both our youth and adults, and it helps with camperships. So please sign up for those, to order those hoagies. Vacation Bible School is fast approaching, and Director Penny Brandt, who is also our soundboard coordinator with her son Josh, has a few words.
Good morning, everybody. As you've all heard, our Vacation Bible School is July 17th to the 21st, and it's from 6:30 to 8:30 for ages 4 to 6th grade. I'm still looking for helpers, so if anybody's available, come see me, let me know. I can use all the help I can get. Also, out in the narthex, we have a poster board that has post-it notes on it with a list of donations that we would like to get to help defer the cost of the snacks for the kids. So if anybody can give me help, you can see me to volunteer or take a post-it note, and we'd appreciate the donations. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. And if you could just do a quick wave of the hand for those that don't know Penny, she's sitting there at the soundboard. Thank you, Penny, a longtime director of VBS, very grateful for your service to that ministry. Also, a reminder to check the bulletin, the youth group. Pastor Stephen has a variety of activities planned for July and August. So youth, if I don't see any in here, but for folks that have children or have grandchildren, please remind them that there's some great activities coming. And also our final reminder, the office will be closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, July 3, 4, and 5. Now I ask that you turn your hearts and your minds to our worship. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. You show me the path of life. Please remain standing and join in hymn number 697 in your red hymnal. Please be seated.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Who loves us? Five, give me five. So who loves us? Jesus. Who loves all them out there? Jesus. Yep, absolutely. Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. You know something that we all have in common, everybody out there, all of us here, everybody back there, we all have in common that every day we have to make decisions. Every day, we have to decide what to wear, what to eat, what to do. Huh. We have to decide what to watch, what to listen to. We have to decide where we're going to go for the day. A lot of decisions. A lot of decisions we don't even think about, but we make them anyways. We make a decision whether to go left or right, sit down, stand up. Some decisions we don't even think about, like I said. Some decisions are real hard, like should I be nice to that person? I don't even know them. Should I be nice to that person because they've hurt me, you know, like a brother or sister or something? Should I share with somebody? How can I help that person? Some decisions are real hard to make. Sometimes we need help. Anybody know what this is? It's not a pen. It is, here, come here, take a look. You got to stand up, take a look here. It's a level, yes. See the bubble? It's in water in there. If you move it up or down. See, but it's right in the middle, which means that what? The table is level. If we lift it up here, then it's not level, right? This is a handy dandy little thing. Let's see here. Well, we know she's not on the level, so let's check Terry. Come here. No, he's not. He's about a half bubble off, isn't he? Oh yeah. Well, but this level really can come in handy. And they make levels. This is a little pocket level. They make big levels, and when you build things, you don't even want them to be a little bit off. Because if that's your foundation and you keep adding things, it'll start to lean. So you want to make sure your foundation's right. So God gave us a level to help us make the right decision so that we don't lean too far one way or too far the other. What do you think that level's called? The Bible. Yes. This Bible is the level that we need. Just like this helps us to build things so they're not crooked, this helps us to make decisions, wise decisions, right decisions. And if we learn what is in between these covers, if we learn this Bible and we write it on our hearts, then when you go to make decisions in life, you'll be able to make good decisions because you'll base them on the Word of God. This is the best level there is. Okay? Let's pray. Come on up here. Hands, huddle up. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks for the Bible. Help us to read it, to understand it, and then to share it with other people so that we can make good decisions, right decisions in life. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. The collection, the offering, is going to the Eastbrook Barn, Mission Barn.
When the weight of the world is on me, and life's like a battle to win, I turn to my own source of hope, whose presence lies within. Only He can save me, take me higher above it all. In God I trust, I pledge my soul's allegiance, and offer up my life a sacrifice. Strength alone will guide my journey, protected by His long surrounding love. In God I trust. In the short breath of time I have here, I pray my life will be one that touches and moves open hearts, so His holy will may be done by His power and His mercy. His strength alone.
Thank you, Connie and Nellie, for that lovely duet. Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Hear these words from Paul. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once yielded your members to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now yield your members to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the return you get is sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Blessings may be added to Paul's words in his letter to the Romans. I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you, God, for the many, 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 many blessings that you have given to us, from the smallest to the greatest. And so, God, from all these blessings, we give unto you this small portion, and we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings and use them as you see fit for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, and please be seated. If you are thankful for the home that you live in, raise your hand. If you are thankful for the vehicles that you ride in, for pets, your health such that it is, for the country in which we live, raise your hand. Now, if you had an option of what to eat today or what to wear, raise your hand. Okay. Joys. Give me some joys. What are we joyful about? All those things. Your granddaughter. What is that? Okay. Beautiful weather and my personal favorite, indoor plumbing. Yes. We had a real nice vacation, good time with three of our kids and their children. Other joys? Family. Okay, nature's many, many gifts. Yes, absolutely. What's that? Amen, yeah. Yep. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now pick up your pens and pencils and grab a piece of paper or make a mental note. But this is my prayer homework, your prayer homework, for as long as God wants you to do it. We want to pray for Kim. She's scheduled for an induction on Wednesday if the babies don't come before then. She's having twins. So keep Kim and Sophie and Dave in your prayers. Pray for the doctors, nurses, technicians, and all the treatments used. Pray for a good, smooth delivery and healthy babies. For Kim and Dave and Sophie and the babies. Okay, yep. Traveling mercies for everybody on the road and for all those churches in transition, getting new pastors and pastors' families, and also saying goodbye to their old ones. So keep them in your prayers, please. Pray for our country and our country's leaders. Pray for our government to make wise decisions, to find wise, equitable, good solutions to our problems. Men and women in the military and their families, pray for them. Pray for all those who are having celebrations, including yourself, that everybody would be safe and be wise and share the love. Pray for David and Doris. They battle cancer. Pray for Marion, who was moved to Weatherwood Manor and saw her Friday, and big transition in Marion's life. So keep her in your prayers. Pray for Bev and Bob while you're at it. Stoyan, our custodian who had to go move his mother over in Croatia, Yugoslavia, someplace like that. And he has a bad Achilles tendon, so he has to deal with that. So pray for Stoyan. Anybody else? Barb's having rotator cuff surgery, so pray for Barb. Bill? Okay, pray for Bill. Pray for addicts and their families and friends. Any other concerns? Rick? Greg. Okay, Greg. If you have an unspoken request for God, raise your hand. Let that be your act of faith. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we do give you thanks for our blessings. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And for our concerns, these burdens, we give them to you. And we stand in the gap for others. For we know that you're greater than any problem that we have or that anybody else has. And so we lift them up into the light and love of your presence, our country and our country's leaders, this church, Lord, physically and spiritually, financially, the administration and management, the outreach and fellowship. We lift up to you, Lord, all those who are traveling, and we pray for mercies to be upon them. Celebrations, Lord, watch over us and keep us safe. We pray, Lord, for David and Doris. We just rebuke that cancer in Jesus Christ's holy name. Marion, Bev and Bob, and Greg. We pray for Stoyan, for all those churches and ministries that are in transition. We pray for Kim and Dave and Sophie and the babies. We pray for the men and women in the military and for Barb and Bill and for those who are battling addiction and their families and friends. Touch them with a healing touch, Lord. We pray for the unspoken request, too. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we would be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, beginning with verse 32. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Thank you, God, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Yep, today's a special day. Today is just 2 days before the 4th. So this is what we consider 4th of July weekend and celebrations. You know, the office is closed for 3 days and go out and have fun. And boy, the fireworks were going off last night. So a lot of fun. Today is also a special day because it's an anniversary. Do you know whose anniversary it is today? Yes. And yours. It's our anniversary. We've been together 1 year. Our anniversary. Yeah. Cool. Who started that applause? I've got a quarter here. Yep. And today is also a special day because it is Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday. And that's more important than anything else, even though we do it the first Sunday of every month. Please, whatever else you take for granted in your life, don't take this for granted. You know, this is like going to your grandfather's house whom you love so much. Walking in the house and saying, "Hey, Pap," and giving him a great big hug and a kiss. That's communion. I mean, it's reality. And this is my whole point today, is that I want us to see, to feel, to touch the reality of the living God among us. I think that we take that for granted way too much. We talk about God in some kind of nefarious way that you know, spiritual and, you know, he's out there. And we talk about angels and all that. And, man, I'm going to tell you, God is as real as right there. God is that real. Touching. God exists. There are demons and angels among us. There are this places. I'm telling you, I believe that it is filled with angels. With wings. Archangels. There's a lot of joy and there's cherubim and there's singing that is going on. And out there and in our lives, there are battles being fought. There's demonic oppression. Demons fighting and snarling and it's happening all around us every day. But I tell you what, a lot of clergy won't talk about it. A lot of Christians don't want to go there because they're afraid of that. It might change the way they see things, the way they do things. They're afraid. We're all afraid of the thing that goes bump in the night, aren't we? Man, you're laying in bed, you hear something. What was that? Man, Bonnie's not afraid. She hears something, she just elbows me. Oh, find out what that was. And I always say, well, if it wants us that bad, it'll come in here and get us. I'm too tired. But yeah, we're all afraid of the unknown and things that go bump in the night. So, in honor of our one-year celebration together, you're going to get what you've already gotten before. My apologies, Terry and Debbie, Nellie and Connie, and of course to my dear wife who's heard it 1,000 times. I have shared this testimony over 1,000 times since it's happened. But today I want you to hear and see in your mind the crossroads of physical and spiritual, the reality of the presence of God. After Justin was born in 1979, September 5th, 1979, about a year later, a little bit more than a year later, I got laid off from work, and two of my buddies and I, we decided to go to Bedford County, 2 hours away, and go hunting for opening day of deer season. My mom and dad had a little mobile home up there that they would vacation at, so we went up there, and we went up on a Sunday, and we got unpacked and everything, and we went up to the state game lands, picked out our place where we were going to hunt from the next morning, went out to eat, came home, went to bed early. We were up 4 o'clock in the morning, up there well before light, and trudged our way up through the woods with our flashlights, found our places, didn't see a thing, and just froze. 6 inches of snow on the ground, temperatures down in the teens, clear sky, the stars were out. It was bitter, bitter cold. I had on a couple pairs of sweat socks, felt pack hunting boots, long johns, gym trunks, blue jeans, red and black Woolrich hunting pants, 3 t-shirts, turtleneck sweater, flannel shirt, red and black Woolrich hunting coat. I had on leather gloves. I had cotton gloves in my pockets. I had on my vinyl hunting cap, blaze orange hunting cap. Oh, I tell you, I was bundled up, and I was still cold, and I even had a backpack with me and my rifle, which was a .32 Special Winchester lever action, like cowboys use, like a .30-30, but a little bit more kick. And so we went up there in the morning, and we hunted. We just saw a few things. It was too dark to shoot, and then we came back down out of the woods to the truck, and the parking lot was loaded with cars and trucks. We sat in my buddy's truck, and he got it warm. We ate our sandwiches, drank our beverages, and about 11:30 or so, we went back into the woods. They went back to the same spot, but I followed the fire trail out of the parking lot, walked a mile along that fire trail, and I saw where some deer had come down over the hill. I went 50 feet past that, and I cut, and I went up through the saplings in the woods to the place where the hillside leveled off. And I found a tree that had fallen over about knee high. And I cleaned the snow off the tree in case I wanted to sit on it. And I could see down over the hill, and I checked my field of fire. I broke a couple branches, had a good clean shot. And I packed the snow down around my feet so I wouldn't make noise when I was turning around. And then I hung up my backpack because that backpack had survival food in it, potato chips and candy bars. So I hung that up. And I thought, what else could I do? What else could I do? And I thought, I know, I'll change my gloves because my hands were cold and the leather was stiff. And I looked at my rifle and the hammer was all the way down. Should have been at half cock. I put the butt of the rifle on the log in front of me and put my arm around the barrel. I should have laid the rifle down. And I held the rifle barrel real tight so it wouldn't go anywhere, and I pulled my leather gloves off. And when I got my second leather glove off, there was a loud explosion. Something hit me upside the head. I reached down, grabbed my rifle, I threw it this way, and I turned and I dove into the snow that way because I knew it was my rifle. And I'm laying half reclining in the snow, and I'm shaking from head to toe, a loud roaring noise. I reached my hand up and gently touched the side of my head, and my hand came away all bloody. And I seriously believed that at that moment I had blown off part of my head, that any second I was going to pass out and die, and that was a loud roaring noise. My life was over. Now, I got to tell you, I was a church-going man, and God had been calling me since I was 14 to go into the ministry, but I was too busy playing baseball and chasing women, and then I got married, and went to work in the steel mills. People kept telling me, you need to go into the ministry, but I wasn't buying it, not at that point in my life. But as I laid there, and I believed that my life was over, it popped out of my mouth without even thinking about it. I said out loud, sweet Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I remember I even spoke King James, even though I always read NIV. But I said that, and when I said that out loud, sweet Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit, there was a peace that came over me. It was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Felt like my mother had wrapped her arms around me. I didn't have a care in the world, nothing. And I felt great. And I thought, wow, this is dying. This ain't bad. Because all of a sudden, I knew that I knew that I knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the Bible, which I had been reading all my life, that I'd always thought, you know, maybe somebody wrote this in order to bring peace to humankind. All of a sudden, I knew that I knew that I knew, without a doubt, and I know it today, that the Bible is true, that it is the Word of God, that there is a heaven, and that Jesus will one day to come to take us to live with him there. I knew that. And I thought, no more 9 to 5, I'm going to miss my wife and my child, but I'm going to a better place. Now let those who have ears hear. Because, Barb, come here, Barb, with your rotator cuff and everything. Would you stand right here? Yes. Because as I'm laying there on the ground bleeding, dying as far as I was concerned, I heard a voice that far behind me. Somebody was standing behind me said, you get up and you get out of here, and you don't quit fighting until you can't put one foot in front of the other. And as I got up off the ground, I started turning around because I wanted to see who it was that said that to me. Now, those aren't things you forget or make up. I knew there was somebody behind me. And even as I was starting to turn, I got about that far, and that voice was then in my head. And that voice said, take your hanky out, fold it over, make a compress, apply pressure to the wound. And I looked, and there was nobody there. And that voice said, nothing here is important. Call your buddy's names, get out and get help. Thanks, Barb. That was the last I heard that voice. But I yelled, Bill, Ron, walked on, hit the fire trail, started to mile back out towards the parking lot, holding that hanky up here, which was soaked with blood, still thinking I'm going to die. Young man came around the bend, and I stopped him, asked him to walk out with me, and I told him I just shot myself. I said, would you get the Kleenex out of my pocket? And he got out a big wad of Kleenex, and we put that on top of the hanky, and I held that up there. You know what the Kleenex are for when you go hunting, don't you? It's not the sniffles. But I held that up there, and I thought, well, if I'm going to die, I might as well take as many sinners with me as I can. So I started to preach to that young man, and I was motor mouthing. I was saying, do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Without Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll go straight to hell. And he was going, ah, he couldn't get a word in edgewise. We got out to the parking lot, and I thanked him, and he ran back into the woods. And there was a guy getting into his car. He had a CB antenna, and I asked him to call me an ambulance. He said, I need to stay, please. Get me an ambulance, please. I shot myself. He couldn't raise anybody. It took him about 5-10 minutes, and then he drove to a house a mile away and called from there. In the meantime, I went to sit in the snow because my buddies didn't show up, and the truck was locked. And some guy said to me, come on, get in the back of my camper. And so I stepped up into his camper, and he had a cot, and he laid me on a cot. He put a sleeping bag under my head. He lit a propane stove. He got an ice bag out of his cooler. He put that on top of the Kleenex and the hanky, and he sat down and held my hand, and his name was Roy. Never heard from Roy again, but I said, you know, Roy, God is loving me through you. And I started to preach to him about, do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Without Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And there was a knock at the door, and he opened up the door, and there was a hunter out there who said, here's his rifle and his hat. And then a little bit later, there was another knock at the door, and somebody said, here's his backpack and one of his gloves. And then shortly after that, there was another knock at the door, and it was my buddy, my best friend, Ron. And Ron came in, and Roy went out, and Ron sat down and held my hand. And as soon as Ron held my hand, I looked at Ron and I said, you know, Ron, I'm not going to die. I can hear you perfectly fine. My eyes work. My legs work. I don't even have a headache. And the moment I said that, it started to hurt. I was in no pain until the moment I told him I wasn't going to die. And it was like somebody took a red hot poker out of the fire and just pushed it up against the side of my head. Burst into flames. I'm telling you what, it hurt so bad. I'm wobbling my knees. And we were just about to get up and get in the truck and leave when the ambulance pulled up. And they put me on a gurney, took me to Bedford Memorial Hospital. And at Bedford Memorial Hospital, they gave me a tetanus shot and a painkiller, wrapped my head in a big bandage. And they said, you got to go to Pittsburgh. You need plastic surgery. What hospital do you want to go to? And I said, go to Mercy. I said, do I have to go by ambulance or can we go in the truck? They said, you can go in the truck. So we drove back to my mom and dad's little mobile home and we threw everything into the truck and we jumped on the road and headed for Pittsburgh, 2 hours away. And I said to my buddies, I said, do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Without Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? And the painkiller kicked in. I fell asleep and they were happy. We got to Mercy Hospital and I called Bonnie and she said she's coming down. Brought her mother. I never did ask you why you brought your mother. There must be a mother-in-law joke in there somewhere. But my buddies left. About 5:30, the doctor called me back. Took a bandage off, and the tip up here that sticks out was bleeding, wouldn't quit bleeding. He said, I have to stitch that. He said, but I don't want to give you any medicine because you might be in shock and it might affect you wrong. So he said, hold on. So you know that bar that goes around the hospital bed? I tried to bend that in half while he sewed the tip of my ear. Then he cleaned it up because there was gunpowder and blood and leaves and all this stuff. My ear was burned, jagged. He said, you're going to have surgery tomorrow. He said, we need to send you for x-rays. He said, sit up on the edge of the bed and take your hunting coat off. I had taken off my hunting pants. I had on blue jeans, long johns, gym trunks, but I never took off my hunting coat. So I sat up on the edge of the bed, and the doctor was standing right in front of me and opened up my hunting coat. When I did this, the doctor did this. What happened to you? I thought, no, that's kind of strange. I just shot myself. I looked down, and here my shirt was ripped right here. And the inside liner of my hunting coat was ripped. Took off my hunting coat, took off my flannel shirt, and my turtleneck sweater was ripped right here. Took off my turtleneck sweater, and all three T-shirts were ripped and bloody. Took off that last T-shirt, and I had a 6-inch bullet burn on my chest right here. I got a little scar there today. And that doctor said to me, boy, are you lucky. And I said, no, sir. It just popped out of my mouth. I didn't even think. I said, no, sir. Luck's not on the throne. God is. We looked at the outside of my hunting coat. There was a hole at the bottom and a hole at the top. I pulled in on the barrel of that rifle so hard, I pulled the barrel this way, the butt went that way. It slid down the log until the spur of that hammer caught that log. And that rifle went off of my waist. That bullet went through my coat, cut my chest, went through my ear. No, sir, luck's not on the throne. God is. He said, you aren't kidding. God spared your life. He said, you know, an eighth, a 32nd of an inch this way or back that way, you wouldn't be here. So he said, go get your x-rays. Tomorrow you'll have surgery. So that night they put me in a semi-private room, and in the bed next to me, there was a young man laying there moaning and groaning and crying. And when the lights were out, I asked him what the problem was. And he said, I'm going for a serious back operation tomorrow. He said, I am scared to death and in a lot of pain. They don't know how it's going to turn out. He says, and I gave my life to Jesus just 3 months ago. He said, I don't have anybody to pray with me. I said, I'll pray with you. And the next morning, he was gone before I woke up. And this big old nurse walked into my bedroom and she said, okay, Bruce. She says, can take you over for surgery. I just need to know whether you want a local or general anesthetic. I said, well, I want a general anesthetic. She says, well, there's always a risk with general anesthetic. You don't really need it. We'll give you a local unless you insist. And I said, well, I insist. I want the general anesthetic. She goes, well, why? And I said, well, because I don't want to listen to them snipping and cutting and talking. I want to go to sleep, wake up, and it's all over. She said, okay, it's up to you. And she goes, we'll give you something to relax you first. And then she started leaving the room, and she goes, oh, and we'll have to intubate you. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, what is intubate? She said, we'll have to stick a tube down your throat into your lungs to keep you breathing. I said, well, that's fine. You do that after I'm asleep. She goes, oh, no, we do that while you're awake. I said, I'll take the local. I found out later she was lying to me, you know. But it worked. So they took me over to the operating room, went to put me on the operating table. It was too small. They had to bring it apart, hooking on there. And then they put me on the operating table. They rolled me up on my side, and I looked right at a clock. And for 55 minutes, I had to listen to them snip, cut, and talk and tell them about three times, you need more Novocaine because I can feel that. So they got all done. They wrapped my head in a bandage so tight I thought my head was going to bust. Had claustrophobia and recovery, ripped the bandages behind my head. I was about to get out of bed. I was going out of my mind. And they took me up to my room where I slept the rest of the day. And then the next day, Wednesday, nobody in my room with me. And a candy striper walks in to see if I needed any water. And she says, is that your Bible? And I said, it is. She says, could you tell me about God's plan of salvation? I said, sure. She goes, the reason I'm asking, she goes, is I work in the evenings at a lounge waiting on tables. And last night I was waiting on a table and there were these two big guys. And they wanted to tell me about God's plan of salvation and how Jesus loves me. And I told them I'd be right back as soon as I filled this order. And when I came back, they were gone. She stayed so long. We were talking about it, how Jesus loves her and God's plan of salvation. Two other candy stripers came in later in the afternoon in my room, and they said to her, there you are. We've been looking for you all over the place. Where have you been? She says, I've been here talking to this man about Jesus. And then the next day, they let me get a shower and send me home. And I got to see how swollen and funny-looking my ear was, you know. And I had hair then, you know. It was all sticking with medicine and... 2 weeks later, I went to the doctor's office, Shadyside Hospital, and he took the stitches out, which hurt worse than going in. And he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut the skin behind your ear, lift it up, sew it to your ear, let that heal up, bring it back in, cut the skin off your head, flap it under, take a piece of skin off your leg and put it on your head right there. He says, it won't look perfectly normal, but it'll look better than what it does now. He said, Blue Cross Blue Shield pays for everything, doesn't cost you a dime. When do you want to have it done? And I said, well, do I have to have it done? He said, well, no, that's up to you. And I said, well, then I'm not going to have it done for two reasons. He said, fine, what's that? I said, one, I'm already married. I'm not chasing women anymore, so I don't care what I look like. He laughed, and he said, what's the other reason? I said, I want people to ask me what happened so I can tell them how good God is. Because no matter what you're going through in your life, whether it's rotator cuff, money, health, children, marriage, church, no matter what it is, things that go bump in the night. You can have a temper tantrum and throw a fit, in which case things just seem to get worse. Or you can say, sweet Jesus, into thy hands, I commit my health, my finances, my work, my relationships, my marriage, my children, my church. You can give it to God, in which case I promise you that God will take care of it. In God's own way and in God's own time. But God will take care of it. And in a very real way. Because I want you to know that that voice that was 10 feet behind me and then in my head was a very real presence and always has been in my life. Jesus is as real as Bill sitting right there. Where's he at? But I want to tell you that Jesus will move heaven and earth for you. Change things. Turn things upside down. He's real. When you take communion today, it is going to be like hugging Jesus. He is real. We need to see life around us and to think about that, to realize that there are angels around. That there is demonic warfare, which you don't have to worry about. You're a child of God. The angels are watching over you. You've got power in the name of Jesus. Remember that. You don't have to be afraid. But he's real. This is not some game we're playing. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will repent and turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves, then I will hear from heaven and I will turn and forgive their sins and heal their land. And we're about to celebrate the birth of our nation. If we can get the rest of our nation
to think spiritually, if we can get the rest of our nation to seek first the kingdom of heaven, then all this other stuff will be added unto them. We can bring a healing to the land. It has to start with us. We've got to be real, sincere, committed Christians who believe in the reality of Jesus Christ. Jesus got to be more important to us than the things that we can touch, fear, feel, hear, smell, taste. When the rest of our country sees Christians living that way, then they're going to want what we have. And then they'll repent and turn from their wicked ways. And God will forgive our sin in this land and heal our land. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I get half off on earmuffs. It's an eerie story. It's a lot like life. Ear today, gone tomorrow. Oh, hey, when I say friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear, I'm serious. You know, I don't know that I'll give it back. I went back a year later, not even a year later. I went back in the spring. My dad and my brother took me up there, and they sat in the truck in the parking lot, and I walked a mile into the woods, and I climbed up that hill, and I found that tree, and I looked around where I was standing, marveling at what God had done, and laying there in the weeds with my other leather glove that I picked up and took home with me. I'm telling you, God is as real as the person sitting next to you, behind you, or in front of you. God loves you, and so do I. When we take communion today, I've got some names on here. I need a bunch more. We need prayer warriors. Start, because by September we want to have this up and running. Everybody's names will be handed out to a prayer warrior who will pray for you daily. If you're willing to be a prayer warrior, sign your name up there. Today we have gluten-free communion here on the altar rail. We have the individual cups if intinction doesn't agree with you. Please turn in your hymnals to page 7. At the bottom of page 7 is the invitation. So please join me for the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Tracy, will you? On the night that Jesus met with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal, the night that he would be betrayed, Jesus instituted a new ceremony, one that would change life forever. During the meal, Jesus took the bread, and after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this bread, that it would be for us the body of Jesus Christ. He broke that bread, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this cup, that it would be for us the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He gave that cup to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink you all of this, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, we come here today with open hearts, forgiving anybody that we have anything against. Fill our hearts with peace. Forgive us of our sins as we come to you and offer to you our lives as living sacrifices. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers, please. Come and hug Jesus. Anybody who did not receive communion at once, let's stand and sing. Well, it's time to go out and celebrate. Enjoy your 4th of July. Have fun. Be careful. Let people see Christ in you. Put your hands in the hands of the Lord. Sit facing a chair and talk to that chair as if you were talking to Jesus. Cuddle up to your pillow at night thinking that it's Jesus you're hugging. Live in the reality that Christ is here. He said, I will leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. Never. No matter where we go. No matter what we do. Jesus is right there with us. Jesus is with you because he loves you. So, Lord, fill us with the revelation truth of Jesus Christ and help us to share that reality with others. Help us to be Christ to the world around us for your honor and glory and praise. And, Lord, bless our country. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen.